Number 16 is from the Director of Audits, an audit report titled the 2012 Annual Report of the Audit Hotline and Audit Activity Related to the Fraud, Waste, and Abuse. This is informational, unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this is, again, an annually required report from our office. The Fraud Hotline has been in existence since 1994, and since then we've generated nearly $5 million of direct savings, and the industry standard is leading us to a measurement of about $10 million in total direct and indirect savings. For 2012, we had about 53 contacts, and we generated over $70,000 of savings. Now, that's not one of our better years, but I think more important is some of the work we did, and you can see it in the examples in the report. It wasn't necessarily directed at recovering money or preventing fraud. There were a number of issues that we dealt with that had to do with things that were being done to the county by vendors, inappropriate conduct of employees, and in some cases just some concerns about customer service that are not always measurable in dollars and cents. Now, having said that, a number of those issues are still in process with the district attorney's office, and it's been our practice in the past when there's a conclusion reached from something that we generated, we'll report out on that issue to you next year.
And you're very good about getting these reports to supervisors. That's very, very appreciated. Supervisor Cullen, Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wondered if you could tell us how much it costs to run the hotline.
Sure. The staffing of the hotline is very much dependent on the activity that comes in on any given year or any given day of the week. But I would tell you this. The services on the fraud hotline are primarily a part of one person's time. I would say that for 2012, it was roughly 25% of one person's time. And as you know, that's with salary and benefits. This is an audit manager who's also a certified fraud examiner. That's not an inconsequential amount of money. However, when we talk about the cost and the expense, what this really went back to in 1993 was the decision by the predecessors of all of you that we send a message to the public that we care about waste, we care about fraud, we care about abuse, and so it's been an investment that we think has been well worth it.
No, and I'm not disputing that. I was just curious because if we've saved directly and indirectly $10 million since 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I assume even you haven't made that much since 1994.
Well, not even in round numbers, no. this has also been a great source of audit topics for us. You know, if you look at our workload, primarily we're doing work that you think is important, and that's always been our priority, but this hotline has become a great way to tell us as auditors for you where we need to be spending some time. Rent assistance is a perfect example of it was a relatively small program. It wasn't on a radar screen, but the phone kept ringing, so we went in, and I think we did some good work that cleaned the program up.
Thank you.
Supervisor Alexander, Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For our listening and viewing audience, I just want to commend the audit department for their work. I was really impressed by a case in this audit report that was explained over several pages in detail while still keeping identities confidential. It discussed a targeted case management supervisor who had a complaint go into the audit hotline against her for potentially misrepresenting her mileage. Now, that's kind of a small issue in comparison to the relative size of the county or the big things that could be discovered. But by our audit department following through on investigating that small claim of someone might be misrepresenting mileage and going to rummage sales on work time, the audit department discovered that that person had blank checks from patients in their office, that there were death certificates in their office, that there were unfiled rape complaints in their office, and over 100 bottles of narcotics and psychotropic medication in their office. And all of that information may not have been uncovered or this person brought before disciplinary action, the personnel review board, et cetera, if that initial complaint of, hey, I think my coworker might not be filing their reports honestly had not even come in. So I just want to, you know, highlight how important it is that people actually use the audit hotline and make a report, even if it seems small and inconsequential. But I do have a follow-up question. That incident, the majority of that seems to have occurred in 2011, and it was in 2012 as this particular case was going through the personnel review board where some sort of disciplinary action would culminate, that this employee that did all of allegedly did all of these things chose to retire before things could be brought to a conclusion. I'd like to hear Mr. Hare's comments regarding employees who retire while under investigation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, this is an issue that has been of some concern to this government for quite some time. Some of you may remember the Supreme Court decision on an appeal of a ruling by Judge Kahn. I think it's referred to as the bad boy provision. There was a time when a county employee that had done something wrong would often be confronted with the choice of either you retire or we will fire you and come after your pension. And I think probably better have the lawyers actually explain this in using their words, but in my view of what the court said is that's kind of a two-step decision. You can't just take somebody's pension away because they did something wrong as an employee. So that whole issue became more of a two-step than a one-step. But indeed, what has happened is, and it happens with some regularity, is that employees who are confronted with an issue can retire rather than face discipline. We had an incident very recently where a gentleman was asked to come in to meet with management, explain his position on what appeared to be some theft, and he said, "Well, I won't be there for the meeting. I'm going to the retirement office." And as we understand it, there's nothing that we can do to prevent people who are retirement eligible from retiring. But our angle has always been, if people have done something that is illegal, then we as a government still have the opportunity to pursue restitution through the civil court, or even better yet, if there's a criminal prosecution, to pursue restitution using the results of criminal action. But it is not unusual for a person who's been accused of misconduct to retire. In this case, the passage of time really was due process. The person hired an attorney. There were various proceedings before the PRB, various delays to allow the attorney to pull together his case. There were some other issues going on with the employee. And by the time this all came to a head, the employee just decided to retire. I have had conversations with HR and Corp Counsel about whether there's something we could do differently, and we do have an interest in pursuing that. I think you're aware of some of these issues as well, and we will be pursuing that.
Mr. Chairman, when the research is complete on possible ways that we can pursue approaching those situations differently, I would very much like to be involved and would be supportive of creating policy or altering policy to address that issue. Just a quick follow-up. I'm curious that that retirement was April of 2012. We're now in March of 2013, so about a year has passed. Do we know if, aside from personnel actions, if for this case any charges were successful or if that person was found to be in violation of the law?
There were no criminal charges pursued, and the only other consequence was the person did lose their license. The state decided that they were not fit for to provide services under the licensure at the state level.
Whose choice was it, Mr. Chairman, to not pursue charges?
I would have to consult with management. I know that there were some other things going on with this particular employee, and I think I would rather consult with management and get back to you kind of in a more because of the personnel angle and some other issues related to the personnel, I'd rather talk offline on that.
I think that's fair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do want to commend you on your work as well. This is definitely a worthwhile investment. But you said there's only one person doing all this work? Or do you have a team? Because this is a lot of investigation and a lot of follow-up.
Well, that was more in terms of an FTE. There's one person, one of our managers, Jim Feldy, who is certified. So he's the lead, and he does most of the work. But that 25% of a position, he may on any given day ask a lead auditor, or even when the phone rings, the bank reconciliation staff will take the tip and write it down. So it's not just it's that FTE, but it's not that one person. It's anybody on the team that can provide value to finding out what happened and what we need to do about it.
I also was intrigued by the same story. And my question was along the same lines as Supervisor Alexander. So when you retire and you're under investigation, I didn't understand if restitution was still pursued or is the case closed? Can you get out of it? You know, is there any penalty?
Unless we file a civil claim or unless we pursue restitution after criminal determination, then the best we get is that we took either a bad employee, a bad vendor, or whatever. Right. Now, some vendors, for example, we have gotten significant restitution. We got $250,000 of restitution ordered on a service provider for mentoring. I mean, we do pursue that when possible, but in this case, there were some other things going on.
Okay. And the reason why we consider it savings is because we're not spending money anymore on that particular service or that particular employee.
Right. We consider it savings when we can put an end to improper billing by a vendor or in this case, a complete lack of productivity on the part of somebody we've been paying a salary and benefits, where we can do a recovery, you know, that's direct, we do the recovery.
So I'm sure you don't budget for savings in this department, do you?
No.
Okay. So that savings goes to what? Your department, the bottom line? Or?
It goes to the bottom line, whichever organizational unit is affected by the reduction in their cost or by the recovery. I can say this, Mr. Chairman, if we were to go on to a bonus or commission percentage, you might see more than 25% of one person's time. But we actually do, you know, we'll chase anything. We have a principle that nothing dies on our desk. When the person who calls us calls back and says what happened, we need to be able to tell them what happened. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, your phones ring or his phones ring or somebody else's phones ring. But we try to bring resolution issues, whether there's significant savings or not.
Okay. And most of these complaints are done anonymously?
Yes. Okay. That's something that we really struggled with because what we have to tell people who call is you can remain anonymous with regard to us. But if a matter is brought to the prosecutor's attention, they will want to talk to you, and you'll have to make another decision then about remaining anonymous. We've been very successful since 1994 in not damaging the livelihood and negatively affecting people who've contacted us with information.
Can supervisors call the hotline?
Mr. Chairman, they have and they can, and they can direct constituents to do so as well. We've had contacts all different ways.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. I would end up saying, even though, just for the record, I would entertain a motion to receive and place on file this item.
So moved.
Supervisor Cullen moves to receive and place on file this item. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Roma West.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stamper.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion to receive and place on file approved 8-0.
Thank you.
Item number